Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. From acclaimed director Levin Atkin, known for such films as And Then We Danced, Crossing is a moving and tender tale of identity, acceptance, and unlikely connections that transcend borders and generations. Leah is a retired schoolteacher living in Georgia when she hears from a neighbor, Achi, that her long-lost niece, Tekla, a transgender woman, has crossed the border into Turkey. Hoping to find Tekla, Leah travels to Istanbul with the unpredictable Achi to help find her. The film is called Crossing, and we're joined today by the director, Levin Atkin. Levin, welcome back to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much.
There's so much about this film to recommend in terms of the humanity, in terms of the story being told, in the sense of displacement and acceptance and all the things we see in this film. But I understand it came from when you were working on Then We Danced, the origin story for this film.
Yeah, I think it's like threefold, but I got a kernel of the idea when I read a story in Georgia about a grandfather who was like basically the only supporter of his granddaughter who's trans, and she'd been sort of ostracized from the family, the rest of the family, and he had not, and he spent, you know, you would go to Tbilisi and spend time with her and things like that, and that became like a news story, and that happened very much around the time that And Then We Danced came out, which, you know, had this narrative of being a very polarizing film where it was like the older generation versus the younger generation. And, you know, all of the Soviet people were bigots and the post-Soviet people were, you know, globalized, westernized kids. And that sort of divisive narrative felt very black and white, and also very sort of only serving the oppressor type situation. So I was, you know, appalled by that, and I wanted to make a film from the perspective of somebody who is a relative to someone who is an older person who is a relative to someone who's LGBTQI+. So that was how it all began.
The idea of acceptance, the idea of getting to know someone before making these sweeping assumptions and judgments about people certainly is a big part of the story. And correct me if I'm wrong about this, or it feels like And Then We Danced was about Georgia, about your homeland. This feels more like your experience of Sweden being outside, sort of a journey, if you will, more of a journey externally and internally of the story. Is that a fair way to?
Yeah, it is. You know, and Then We Danced was very much about finding your own place in a tradition or space that wouldn't accept you in Georgia. Whereas this film more so explores the journey, like you spoke about, but it also explores self-forgiveness while also putting a fit, you know, because even though it's, you know, anecdotal maybe, but when And Then When Daz came out, there were so many stories from people in my team, for instance, who would tell me that they would bring their grandma or someone to see the film in Georgia, or they would show it to them at home. You know, a lot of people in Georgia, you know, and in the world are sort of homophobic by default, because there's never a face, you know, it's not put into a space where they feel that they can relate. And my idea very much with this journey for Leah was, well, you know, if she in the beginning of the film is sort of a woman that's on a mission, you know, she's almost like a character from a Western movie who's like, I'm going to do this for my sister and then I'm out. She gradually during the film starts to do it for herself, because she also starts meeting these women and spending time in this world, and she grows. And so the idea is, if people are faced with these things that is the other, you know, the then, you know, is there room for growth? So that was also something that I wanted to explore.
Well, and you bring into the conversation Leah and the performance by Mizia Arabuli, who is absolutely terrific in the film. And she does start out as this very harsh and hardened sort of woman, as you said, kind of on the hero's journey. No matter what, she's going to find this, find her sister's daughter. And so it's her performance that is the meta and the micro of this film. It is that journey that she's on internally and externally. And I just thought she was terrific. And I can't say enough about her performance. So I just I
She's
think
incredible. She's a force to be reckoned with, even in, I mean, Mzia in herself is, you know, her presence. When I saw her the first time, I was like, okay, here we go. Now this is going to become a movie. You know, it isn't until you find those key players that you're like, okay, this movie is going to get done. And regardless of, you know, because you never know, making movies is like Russian roulette, right? You do it, you have the best intentions. Sometimes it just doesn't work. But when I find someone like her, it's like, okay, a big piece of the puzzle to make this film come to life is solved. And that's an incredible feeling. And the same with Achi and Deniz Dumanlı, who plays Evrim. Those, I mean, because it was a very, very tricky film to cast this one, because you need three leads that are interesting and can carry a movie. And then it's this sort of huge cast around them, small bit parts here and there that all have to, you know, be equally believable and interesting. And that's tricky, especially when you make films in this way where, you know, you don't have a lot of resources. And you know, it was very tricky to cast this film.
Well, and as you said, so Lucas Kankava, Deniz Dumanlı, this is the core of the film, and having the westernized character in the film, that's Leah's window into another world, right? Someone who's more accepting, or at least is part of, and then of course Evrim is just the character of Evrim is really remarkable as well. These are really good performances. I don't know what to sort of gushing about them, but they're all so,
Thank you.
yeah, they're all
Thank
so
you
good.
so much. No, I mean, I'm so happy that it worked out and that we got these three protagonists. They're just so interesting to look at, and I'm in love with them.
Yeah, they are. And without giving too much away, Mzia's countenance from the beginning to the end. You'll watch, there's another part of the performance is watching her bearing, if you will, throughout the film. And I just how seeing that is part of the bigger picture is just terrific. And so in terms of filmmaking, in terms of the filmmaking part of this, you film in Turkey, you film in Georgia. Sort of navigating that as a filmmaker, just in terms of the logistics of it, the challenges involved.
Oh yeah, I mean, this film was challenging because it's like you know, we financed it from very many different countries, which brings in a lot of chefs, which is always tricky, I think. And then you know, filming in Georgia, filming in Turkey, different filming cultures, film teams, people from all over the world in the team working in different ways and everything. It's logistically was a very, very tricky film. And then also filming in Istanbul in itself was super hard because Istanbul is such a difficult city to film in with permits, and you know, everything is always changing and evolving. And you know, we would go one day to a place, and then when we came back a few days later, there would be like a construction site there. It was just insane, Istanbul.
What was in Istanbul and the situation, the political situation in Turkey, was there any pushback in terms of the story? Did it get into any of that?
Not at all. Not the No, I don't think so. I mean, we were left pretty much to our own devices there. I feel like, again, Istanbul's or in Turkey in itself, they have so much going on. I feel like we were probably the least of anyone's problems.
Well, and there's always a difference between a metropolitan area if you were filming maybe.
100%,
Yeah, so
of course.
and it does feel like in throughout the world where there are issues around queer community, it depends on where it is in the country as to what, how much.
100%. I mean, we have problems here in Sweden too.
Again, I just want to let our listeners know that the film is called Crossing, and Crossing is opening nationwide on July 19th. So
Wow.
congratulations on that. It's being released
Thank you.
through Mubi. And a wonderful platform, by the way. It's just a terrific platform for
They're
films.
great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What's the takeaway for you as this is your second major film? to release. What are you taking forward from this experience, and where are you heading? What are you?
I'm heading onward with a new film that I'm writing now. I can't really talk about it more than that. It has similarities in some ways, maybe geographically to And Then We Danced, but it's also very much set in England.
Well, congratulations on
Thank
this.
you.
It's really a terrific film.
Thank you so much. Thank
And
you,
you're very
Mike.
welcome. Yeah, the film is called Crossing, and we've been speaking with the director and writer, Levin Atkin. And Levin, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.